Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney. It is the Tiki and Tierney Show. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show. And Tiki, we're coming from our studios here, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. All right, so let's determine our level of suckerdom, if you will. Are we suckers?
Yeah.
Are we buying, and the answer for me is already no, the video that surfaced over the weekend, which was posted by Drew Brees' trainer, by the way, Todd Durkin, published a video to social media Saturday night that shows the Saints quarterback pushing a heavy sled, and it included the caption, "Not sure why, why's in caps, he's so cray-cray today." A grown man can't write that.
No.
You can't write that. But something
kind of very corny to say.
Not sure why he's so cray-cray today, but something must be brewing. And the ever-important ...
Something's brewing.
Something's brewing.
I'm the hype man. I'm the hype man. I'm hyping up Drew Brees. He went all the way to the end of the parking lot.
First of all, he's pushing a sled on concrete, which might be the easiest thing in the world. Just saying.
And it wasn't a lot of weight. Was it a 45
on
each side?
It was 90 pounds. I mean, the sled weighs maybe 40 pounds.
Not even. It's less than the bar.
Exactly.
I feel like it's less than the bar.
I mean, okay. Must be. Maybe he's training for a marathon.
That
would be baller. I would get down on that. But don't try to. Don't try to convince me he's trying to come back to play in the NFL by pushing a sled on concrete, or not even concrete. It was on asphalt, which is even easier to push
with 30 other people, by the way, who have no aspirations of playing pro football.
Yeah, I love the hype of it, like the hype man, the trainer. You know what's going on? Dude, you're so set for WWE I was kind of mildly entertained, but not really, because I thought it was corny.
So did I. Let's see. He was, again, as I read, the video of him fiercely working out isn't going to quiet the suspicions of a return to the game. Here's a snippet of the commentary in the video. Drew, what are you doing? Okay, he's never done that before. Don't know what he's doing. Never quite been there before. Never done that. You needed a challenge. That's a new record because it's never been done before. End quote.
Dude,
when
you read it even more, it's worse.
I mean, like,
when you read it, it's worse than actually.
That is rough. Now, this is an interesting quote from Adam Schefter. He said this on, I guess it was on Rich Eisen's podcast earlier, or maybe even Rich's show, I'm not sure. He said, quote, last year he went into the Saints. This is a good anecdote. Maybe to be fair, let's flip the coin and see the other side. Last year, he went into the Saints coaching staff at the Pro Bowl, and they cried because that was his last game. He was retiring. And then he took some time off, and lo and behold, he came back in March. That's attributed to Adam Schefter on Rich Eisen's show. We also know that Drew Brees was really, really banged up this year.
Yep.
Maybe those injuries have healed. Maybe the pain has subsided. And now that he's been reduced to about $1 million veteran minimum, whatever it is. He dropped him from $25 million to the league minimum, which was a real sign of interpreting that he was about to retire.
Yep.
Maybe it is just Drew Brees giving back to the Saints and being prepared to play at a peasant wage and to help fill out the rest of the roster to win one more championship.
Yeah, I mean, look, and that's the question. Like, do you run this back if you're the New Orleans Saints, given all of the –
maybe options that are out there. Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, who we saw play extensively when Drew Brees was injured with the ribs and everything else. Do you try to, trade for someone? I don't know who, maybe Russell Wilson or acquire Deshaun Watson, but there's no way you're getting Deshaun Watson. Your first round draft pick's not high enough, I would think, for the Houston Texans even consider it. And even if they did, you'd probably have to give up. I mean, that's when you give up four picks, right? Because that first round draft, those first round draft picks are always going to be sub 20 something. You know what I mean? So what do you do here if you're the Saints and Drew Brees actually wants to come back? That's the challenge that I think they're facing, because honestly, I think it's time to move on. We talked about this before, BT. It's like you get to that point where it's just it feels like it's time, and they need to reset while continuing to grow the forward momentum that they built over the last 4 years in a positive way. But they got to find a quarterback.
They have to find a quarterback. It's my opinion. You know, even if Drew Brees wanted, and even if he told them tonight,
yep,
that he wanted to come back and play, and that's a lot easier for me to say into a microphone. I don't have the relationships with Drew. I don't. I'm not, you know, directly in the city in which, you know, his efforts have been felt for basically 15 years at this point. He's helped rebuild New Orleans. So there are situations, obviously it's football driven, but there's other stuff that I can't quantify, you know, as a guy who's just giving opinion and spouting off on the radio. But from my seat, and I said this during the year, he's not good enough anymore.
No, I think that's right. He's lost his arm strength. And for a guy who's not a big player and has to put every inch of his physicality into his throws for distance, you'd have to completely overhaul what the Saints have done, what Coach Payton has done with this offense in for the last decade or so. Now, could Drew Brees do that? Of course he could. I mean, if there's a quarterback who would come in and say, we're going to change this, we're going to do a lot of slip screens and bubble screens and quick outs and all those, Drew Brees would be really good at that. But I think it takes away from the skill set of the players on that team, including Michael Thomas, should they hold on to Michael Thomas.
I think they
go find the replacement who is Drew Brees but has more, you know, upside in his career and still left. And maybe that's Jameis.
It's got to be Jameis. Well, I mean, what are we just going to throw Jameis Winston to the side? We said all year Jameis Winston's going to be the successor. Why are we saying it now?
Because if they find an alternative that's better, I'm only saying that because quarterbacks are you can get quarterbacks now, right? It's crazy that a guy who's under contract somewhere could all of a sudden be somewhere else seemingly pretty easily, relatively speaking, because it used to never happen. I'm not talking about a backup. I'm not talking about, you know, Marcus Mariota. I'm talking about a starter somewhere you can find on a different team in subsequent years. So I don't think the Saints are going to go down that route. I think they brought Jameis Winston in for a reason. You're right, BT. And we talked about this in real time. Like, we were wondering in real time, why not just give Jameis Winston, you know, this burn? Let's see what you got. But they went Taysom Hill, and we speculated, well, maybe they don't want Jameis Winston to show everybody what they got.
But we also surmised, that was part of it, but we also surmised that they felt like they did the year before with Teddy when they were 4-0. I know we came into that first game when, you know, so he really started four games, but he was on, you know, the final snap, he was 5-0. We surmised that maybe they just felt, you know what, we can still rattle off a couple of wins with Taysom Hill, which they did,
yep,
and keep Jameis Winston's value down.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes sense because
meaning another team couldn't swoop in. Like, if he balled out for a month and he was throwing for 330, you know, 3-4 touchdown, we all know he can throw the heck out of it. But if he wasn't making the mistakes and he was still making the plays, suddenly, you know, you might pay him 9, 10, 12. Maybe somebody's going to say, man, I'll give this guy 20-something million if he's rehabilitated.
Which is exactly what happened with Teddy Bridgewater. So it's like they learned from their
their issue with Jameis. And so now they had to, well, with Teddy. So that's why they had to go get Jameis. Because look, the Saints, no team is stupid. No team sits around and says, we're just going to run this thing out to the end with no backup plan. Like every team, even the Patriots, think of all those quarterbacks over the years that they would bring in as projects, knowing they weren't going to play for years or if ever, but they were contingency plans, right? We're going to build Matt Castle. Maybe he can be the guy that we need if Drew Brees or not Drew Brees, if Tom Brady gets hurt. You know, let's bring in Ryan Mallett. Maybe he can be the guy if Tom Brady gets hurt. Let's Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo. Every team does this. The Saints hadn't had that really until Teddy Bridgewater, and then he got stolen from them. And so now they're doing it again with Jameis Winston and hoping that, you know, with Drew Brees seemingly being retired, that he's their answer.
Well, the other thing that you have to consider, and maybe this year, next year at this time, it will absolutely, this what I'm about to say will apply to the Steelers. It did not apply to the Giants, and not to put Eli on Drew's line, but eventually they'll still be in the same building, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It did not finish this way for Eli and the Giants. It was different with Montana and Young because Young was there.
Yeah.
He forced out Joe.
He forced Joe out in a sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. But it almost seems like, and maybe I'm just having recency bias or I'm just omitting unintentionally certain situations, but I feel like for the most part, not all encompassing, obviously, but a little more yes than no, that when you have an icon, a franchise quarterback on his last legs, the team is generally not ready to win.
Yeah.
Like think about Eli. Like Eli was on his last legs. Everything around him was horrendous. And that's why I said with Big Ben, maybe it'll be different next year because the Steelers will still be possibly still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like most of the situations, there's just an overall erosion, maybe in part because you paid the franchise icon too much.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't have room to do other. You drafted poorly around them. You may be a combination of both. But the Saints are ready to still win if they get the right guy.
That's right. And that's why I ultimately believe that they if Drew Brees puts them in a bind and says, I want to play again, they have to stick to their guns and move on.
Do you think they would?
I
know you think that they should.
Do I think that they would?
What's your opinion on that?
No, I don't think they would. I think they'd let him come back. Hmm. I do. And I think it would be the wrong decision.
Hmm.
Now, we know how good they've been. They've won the division 4 straight years. Remember, this was a division that people couldn't win consecutively. Remember, I think it went back like 2 decades. Nobody had consecutively won the division. And then I think the Panthers did it. And then all of a sudden the Saints have not lost it. They've won 4 in a row. They've won double digit games every single year. There's one season they had 11 wins, but otherwise it's been 13, 13, and then 12 during this division title winning run that they've been on.
Yeah.
But they always come short in the postseason. Now, it's not necessarily Drew's fault.
It's the officials' fault, really.
Well,
if you
true,
want to be
yeah,
literal.
But it's not necessarily his fault. But when you lose in, you know, your first, you're one and done, it's like there's a shortcoming there. And, you know, I think running it back puts you in the same situation again. Like, you can't just keep hoping. This time we're going to figure it out. This time it's going to go our way. This time we're not going to have an official mistake. This time, you know, XYZ defender is going to make that play. Like, you can't keep running it back expecting a different result.
That's a good point. You know, that's where you just, and we see it in every sport, whether it's a coach, whether it's a player, whether it's a GM philosophically, for whatever reason, there's a conviction. And listen, I shouldn't say for whatever reason. The conviction comes from, it stems from, inevitably, somebody identified said player, you know, or coach, or executive, that they were somebody that was cherished to the point where they needed to be hired. So there was an emotional connection to that person or player, you know, and it's tough to cut that rope in certain situations, you know, because you probably think about when you draft somebody, you're not in unison. I mean, draft rooms are crazy, man. I mean, scouts yelling at each other. This guy, you know, this split. It's sometimes, not all the time. You know, you have split Splitsville. Sometimes you have general consensus. Yep. Like, it's just different.
Scouts, and, general managers.
Yeah. And we know who gets
owners, they get in the room.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we know who gets the ultimate say. It's not going to be the scout, but there are certain organizations that really give their scouts the freedom to speak their minds as loud as it has to get leading up to the pick. And there, what I'm saying is there's just an investment in people. Mm-hmm. And when you invest in people, you invest in the talent, but you also invest in the heart and the belief and the soul of that person. I know it's hard to part ways. So it's not going to be an easy decision. I wouldn't begrudge, maybe this is where you and I would disagree. I wouldn't begrudge, like, I don't think he could play at this level anymore. I've said it. But I wouldn't begrudge Drew Brees if in a week he says, I'm healed, my heart's in it, I want to play one more year. Some would construe that as kind of holding the Saints hostage. I wouldn't, would you?
Not necessarily hostage. I just think it puts him in an awkward spot. Because how do you say no to Drew Brees? No, you know, I mean, he's your franchise icon.
Yeah.
And if you're a Saints fan, like that's probably more the how you get the feel of it. So go ask a Saints fan. Hey, Saints fan, Drew Brees is a legend. Next year, first home game, he's going in the Ring of Honor. You know, 5 years from now, he's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. It's not even going to be a conversation. He's legend. But do you want him to start for you next year? Like, I think that's an interesting debate that a lot of Saints fans would struggle with. And because they love him, but they also know it's about time. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It's not like he's ending on a high note, like Tom Brady was ending on a high note. And let me point something else out, BT.
Yeah.
Once you start getting consistently hurt, right, when the little things start keeping you out of games, you're not rehabilitating quicker, right? That's age, right? Those little things, that's age catching up to you, and it's caught up to Drew a lot over the last couple of seasons.
It has. I mean, it has. That point about the question for Saints fans that you just brought up there, boy, I'd love to know the answer. The problem is, there's not a definitive. Now, I guess if we position it Drew or Jameis Winston, that's obviously a definitive, choice.
Well,
or
BT,
list.
That's exactly what complicates it. It's like Drew or ? You know what I mean?
But that's why I'm not sure I'm with you that it would be overwhelmingly. We're ready to move on from Drew because of the question mark.
Mm-hmm.
The guy still threw 24 touchdowns, 6 picks, 3,000 yards in 12 games, and hit on 71% of his passes.
Yeah.
Now I'm sitting here saying he's not the same guy, but. Those, you know, if he's healthy and he plays 16 games and he has, and Michael Thomas barely played.
Yeah.
And he still had 24 touchdowns and 6 picks. I mean, are we kicking the guy out the door a little bit too early?
Mm-hmm.
Are we being unfair to him?
No,
honestly,
not being unfair.
That's a good question.
He hasn't been always available.
All right.
Quarterbacks don't miss games.
All right.
And he's missed a lot over the last 2 years.
I got you. Well, how's this for a quote? I hate to say it, but he's got a little bit of Brady in him. End quote. It's a quarterback who's about to get drafted in a couple of months. He is probably the one that, talking about a wide range of opinions. It'll be Mac Jones getting to his situation next. Where is he going to get drafted? Are we buying it? That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, March Madness. As Buddy Rothstein would say, this is March. Of course, he's tweeting. Last night at like 11:59, he's got his fingers on his phone. And 12 o'clock, boom, this is March. March Madness right around the corner this weekend. CBS, two full days of college basketball triple headers. The action starts Saturday at noon with a battle in the Big 12. All right. We got a couple of the matchups coming up later on the day as well. So the road to the Final Four is on CBS Selection Sunday, only a couple of the Sundays away. The Big Ten is absolutely stacked. Iowa with a big win yesterday. Spartans with a tough loss over the weekend, and a lot in between. So the other conferences are less powerful than the Big Ten, which is by far the best in college basketball. Doesn't mean something predictable is going to happen, and that's why we'll be watching, which we most certainly will. All right, Teak, let's face it. We are coming up next, by the way. Your boy got ratioed as hard as I mean, the disparity in it is. Like I, you, if you just saw the ratio, you would tell me that I would probably, I should just submit and I should give up. But your partner never gives up because, like a lot of people, they had my tweet wrong. So I don't give a rat's behind what the ratio is. I will. We'll get a little bit to Julius Randle and the surging Knicks and what was trending on social media yesterday. But let's get to this now. You've seen him play, and so I'm going to really give you the steering wheel here. One thing I know though. Whether it's a show on Netflix, and almost every time somebody says, yo, you got to see this series, you watch it. It's almost always great.
Yeah.
Most times, but not always, when somebody says, hey, this restaurant is phenomenal, you go. And there have been times when I've been disappointed based on others' recommendations, like movies, food, subjective, how it tastes.
It's your fault forwarding the wrong dish.
Yeah, right. It's my fault. I hear you. And let's face it. Mock drafts and assessing quarterbacks is a little bit all over the map, and there are fluctuations. Everybody who seemingly has a voice is telling me that Mac Jones should be a top 10 quarterback. Teak, I mean, I watched pretty much every big Alabama game this year, and I don't see it.
Yeah.
Do you?
Here's the thing. So this is going to sound odd, but you bear with me and you'll get it immediately.
I'm all ears, bro.
Right?
What do you got?
People compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady, right? Now, that means one of two things, and I think people are looking at it the wrong way. People say, yeah, he reminds me of Tom Brady. He's got that kind of poise. He's not an elite arm, but it's good enough, right? And he's accurate, puts the ball exactly where it's supposed to be, gives his wide receivers a chance to move into space. And so when they say, Mac Jones reminds me of Tom Brady, a lot of people are saying, man, they think he can be the GOAT? That's a little inflated, right? He might not even be a starter. But what I think they're missing, because this is how I interpret it, because I would also compare him to Tom Brady. He is the kind of player who you draft, not necessarily in the first round or top 10, maybe in the first round if you're desperate for a quarterback and you need a leader who's going to be great, but someone you can take in the second round or even the third round if he falls and know that there is significant potential upside, right? And it's almost guaranteed potential upside. Right. Whereas Justin Fields, who is the contrary or the other pick that you could potentially take here, there is the ceiling is just enormous. Right. It's like the Deshaun Watson type ceiling for Justin Fields because of his size, his athleticism, his arm strength. It's like, man, if we can just teach this kid how to be a quarterback in the NFL, man, he's going to be special. The difference is with Mac Jones. You don't have to teach him because he's there, right? You know he's got the mind, he's got the leadership ability, he's got the calmness, he's got the accuracy, he's got all those things that you need to teach, like the Justin Fields of the world. Mac Jones already has. Now, the question, so that creates a dilemma, right? It's like, where do you take him then? Do you take him in the top 10 or do you take him, you know, a little bit lower and hope you don't need him? And if you do, then you know he's going to be successful for you because that's exactly how his college career progressed, right? He took over for Tua Tagovailoa at the end of 2019. He played pretty dang good until the Auburn game where he threw three interceptions. And then in 2021, this year, he was phenomenal. He was unbelievable. Best quarterback in college football by far. But a lot of that is because he had great talent all around him.
Oh, man, this is a tricky sell. Now, do I believe Mac Jones will or should get drafted ahead of Zach Wilson? No. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence going number one.
Yep.
But there seems
I think he's the fourth quarterback, BT.
Well, I was going to say there seems to be, at least in some circles, enough energy. Can he slide into the third spot? Can he jump in front of Justin Fields?
I don't think so. I think that the potential, because you draft quarterbacks for potential. Now, I always say this about top 10. If you're taking a quarterback in the top 10, you better believe, like, be convicted, have done your research, know his character, know all his flaws, and hopefully you can wipe them away. He better be a Hall of Fame quarterback if you're drafting a quarterback in the top 10, right? And I don't think he's that. I think he is a he can be a perennial
you know, phenomenal starter, maybe like a Matt Ryan, who ultimately maybe wins an MVP, but you know, who knows if he's going to be Hall of Fame worthy, right? That's probably his ceiling to me, Mac Jones. But I would take him, especially early in his career, over a lot of the guys that are in the draft right now, or that were in the draft the last couple of years, BT, because you know he's going to be productive. It's almost like a guarantee he's going to be productive. The question is, you know, where is his ceiling? Like, when does he hit that ceiling and he just stops?
Well, let me throw a number at you here, all right? This was in high school. So, you know, there's something to be said for when you run, you know, and you know this is a track star from high school and college before mm-hmm. you changed, you know, and went football full time. The getting out of the blocks and the mechanics of running, you can shave off a tenth of a second just by knowing how to run. So I want to be fair to Mac Jones. But I looked up, this was right when he had signed with Alabama. His best 40 time was 4.91.
Mm-hmm. That's slow.
That's slow. His worst, although Patrick Mahomes is at Texas Tech was 4.80, which is only a tenth of a second, which I know actually means more than it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like, you know, Mahomes 5/10 of it, but just a point of comparison. Mac Jones's worst in high school was 5.57, which is horrendous. He's projected to run now, again, this is just a projection, right below his worst in high school. So instead of 4.91, he's really like 4.90. The average for a quarterback is 4.93.
Yeah.
But the way the league's going, right, is it wise to invest in a non-athlete at the quarterback spot top 10?
No, definitely not.
Okay,
in the top 10.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, BT, I'm not taking them in the top 10. Not a chance. Because I don't. He could prove me wrong like Tom Brady, but that's why he's like Tom Brady. You know what I mean? I'll reiterate. A lot of people say he reminds me a lot of Tom Brady. To me, they're misinterpreting why he's like Tom Brady. He's like Tom Brady because he's a guy you take a shot at, not in the top 10, maybe back of the first round, second round, and hope that he can ascend. Like Drew Locke, right? This is a guy I would take a shot on like Drew Locke, and he's not going to make the mistakes that Drew Locke made, right? He's a better prospect than Drew Locke is. But at the same time, he's not a Hall of Famer yet, but he could be, right? So he's confounding in that sense because you know he was really good, but a lot of that was because every single player that he was throwing the football to, and obviously the wide receivers they talk about, but Miller Forstall was pretty damn good as well, who was his tight end. Najee Harris and his running back core, they were good also. Like the offensive line was phenomenal. I mean, that offensive line won every offensive line award in college football last year. Right? He had all of the pieces to be exceptional and to be a national champion. But he also never made mistakes. He threw 3 interceptions all season. You know what I mean? 41 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So he's a really good player. It's just a question of, you know, when are you going to pull the trigger on a guy like that who might have, you know, a very solid career, but maybe not be a Hall of Famer. To me, that's back of the first, maybe in the second round.
Right now, it's the most fascinating name on the board. The way he shot up the board and the belief and conviction in his ability to mature and the comparisons, it's hot. So we'll obviously follow this. You know what Teague and I think, and I would agree with that. There's no way I'm taking him inside the top 10. You know, if he's still on the board and I want to shoot up to maybe the 15th spot, that's something I would consider. But I can't justify taking Mac Jones in the top 10. I just can't.
Yeah, people are going to love him when they meet him. They're not doing combines this year, but they do the I guess they're all the pro day type at
on
home,
campus.
At school, on campus workouts. Yeah, I was trying to think of like, what the hell are they called? On campus workouts.
Yeah.
They're all going to love them. Just like they love Tua. And just like they all loved him at the Senior Bowl, this whenever it was, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's
all right.
That kind of kid.
Don't doubt it. Let's get into this coming up next here, T. We got Axe Update. What happens when the entire internet says you lost a debate, but the one who started it continues to hold on to the fact that they're right? Yeah, we'll get to that Julius Randle, Chris Bosh thing, which took off yesterday. That'll be fun, and we'll get to that after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, good stuff, James. Good. Let's get to this Julius Randle, Chris Bosh stuff, which somehow took over Sunday, somehow. But first, it's time for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. For savings on the latest appliances from the kitchen to the laundry room, Your appliance upgrade is, well, within your reach. Save on top appliances now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. James Harden scored over 20 points in each of his last seven games, so he is balling. Two games at over 35 during the span, and Harden, remember, had a double-double in four of those games, triple-doubles and two wins over the Kings. He's led the Nets to wins in six of seven, and currently has the team a half game out of first in the Eastern Conference. And doing more, brought to you by the Home Depot. Speaking of the Eastern Conference, right now, the New York Knicks are the four seed in the Eastern Conference, all right, which obviously has me a little giddy. Not to the point where I'm going to put out, you know, ridiculously, statistically erroneous tweets, but something interesting happened to your partner yesterday, buddy. I got ratioed for the first time in my life. Really, I mean, and it was a monster disparity.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, I knew what it meant, but I did look it up, so I'll give everybody the... According to the Urban Dictionary, being ratioed, all right, is when a reply to a tweet gets more likes than the tweet it was replying to, usually indicating the unpopularity or stupidity of the original tweet.
Uh-huh.
For example,
I see.
If your tweet got 10 likes, but a reply got 10,000 likes, you have sadly been ratioed, all right? So yesterday, and it started so innocuously, as so many mishaps on social media often do, at around 8:30 in the morning, honestly, I had a little hangover, to be honest with you. I let the wife sleep in, usually the other way around after a Saturday night if we do anything. But I said, you know what? Stay in, babe. I got it. Got the kids, cereal. I wasn't feeling that bad. Only had a couple beers, but whatever. And I get up, put on the news, then I go over to a little Sports Center, having my first cup of coffee, and I am reveling in the fact that the Knicks are competitive, as I have every time they come up on the show. I'm under no illusions. They're not ready to win anything, but they're competitive. They play great defense, first in defensive efficiency, and for the first time in almost a decade, they actually have a representable product on the court, mm-hmm. which is great. So I tweeted this. Now, I will say, if I had to do it over, I would have maintained the same premise for sure, but I would have changed the words, which I think maybe confused some idiots out there. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
And here's what I wrote. Legit question, colon. At his apex, was Chris Bosh ever better than peak Julius Randle? Question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I write, the answer is no. I'm assuming, you know, as I always do something with the Knicks, yeah, maybe, I don't know, 500 likes, you know, whatever. Well, 3,500 retweets later, ratioed to death. Not that I care. It was hysterical. Some of the GIFs people were sending me were priceless, dude. I mean, many things I can't read because people were coming at me. Heat fans jumped on me. Raptor fans jumped on me. Now, listen, the mistake that people made is that they can't read or they selectively read.
Mm-hmm.
In no way was I trying to parallel the career of what Julius Randle has done thus far.
Yeah, which hasn't been a lot until this year.
No, you're right, which has been one of underachievement and sloppiness.
Even back in his days in Kentucky, because we were doing our show then, I was crushing him because he tapped out in like 3 minutes in the national championship game.
He was tired. I'll never forget that. And you were all over,
like,
cramping up. You're
hell?
Like, what? You're 18, 19. You're cramping up. So, there's no parallel there, no attempted parallel to a guy at the age of 26, finally got his body in great shape,
mm-hmm.
finally is making teammates better, finally is living up to the lofty draft status, but by no means can he shine the shoes of, in totality, of an 11-time All-Star, a two-time NBA champion, and let's face it, an 11-time All-Star and two-time champion who was forced to retire at the back end of his prime, which was age 31, 32 season because of the blood clots. And I'm sure he would have put up, you know, some more points and maybe won another championship, whatever. I wasn't trying to do that.
Yeah.
What I was saying.
Wait, hold on real quick.
Yes,
question.
Speak.
Just to interject.
Yeah,
real
whatever.
Real quick.
Whatever you got.
So I get, because you've been talking about Julius Randle, both privately and every now and then we do bring it to air.
Yes.
Because
more privately, though, to be fair.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's just every now and then when the Knicks have a big win, and they've had some big wins this year. It's
over
just, it's
500.
Kind of surprising.
Over 500.
I might eventually, after 24 years?
Well, we had the good year with Carmelo.
No, I'm just saying, after 25 years, I might become a Knicks fan now because I've been in New York for 25 years.
You know what?
Years.
We don't want you. Why don't you go root for the Nets? We don't want you. Continue your point. But you're not welcome at the Garden.
But my point was, not my point. It's not even a point. It's a question.
Yes.
Why Chris Bosh? You know what I mean?
That's like, that is a great question. I'll be honest with you. That is a great question. I'll tell you why. All right. Because he's a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of it.
Okay.
They both play power forward, although Chris could obviously jump over and play the five. He was a couple inches taller and is a couple inches taller than Julius Randle. It was actually out of reverence for, this is the irony. It was out of reverence for Chris Bosh. The people took it as a diss. Well, they misread two things. They thought I was equivocating Julius Randle's career to that, which I just said, which there's no way, nobody would do that. And if you are, you're a complete moron.
Yeah.
Okay. But I was also using Chris Bosh to illuminate just how great Julius Randle has played this year for the New York Knicks. Now, when, and then, listen, if you try to respond to people, it just,
yeah, you can't.
You never put down the computer.
Yeah, once the avalanche is coming, you can't respond.
Oh, it's great. And listen, I mean, you look at not only the average Joe weighing in, which I love, but the amount of verified, like Bamani Jones jumping in, like meteorologists from Orlando, like people who are really in the business, like they're like, what? I'm like, did you read what I wrote, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, they didn't really read what I wrote.
Which is
back
to the point where they didn't read what you wrote.
Exactly. The only point that matters, and I would love anybody to challenge this assertion. And by the way, I'm not saying that it's completely unchallengeable, although I believe that it's not. But, yeah, there's wiggle room for conversation. But when you fail to boil it down to my only point, and my only point was, when you take Julius Randle's 35 games this year, his 35 games this year, what he has done on a night-to-night basis for the New York Knicks this season, you cannot definitively tell me that Chris Bosh on his best night was better than Randle. You want to tell me he was, that's fine, comparable, a little bit better than, and by the way, I could hit you with stats, which are boring.
Yeah.
Trust me, they some of them favor Randle. Now, selective sampling, yes, but that's why I preface it with this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard statistically because the game was so different. I picked this up on the Slack debate that you and Sam were having last night because the game is just different. Like there's been games with 150 points this year, BT, which is nuts.
I got
to
poke a hole in Stanthor's. But I got to tell you, the Knicks are one of the worst offensive teams in the NBA.
Oh yeah.
If the Knicks were averaging 124 points, I would say there'd be merit to referencing that stat.
I agree.
The Knicks are playing an offense that is actually representative of the outside of more three-point shots. But in terms of possessions, which a lot of people erroneously latched onto yesterday, they're playing comparably to the Raptors with Chris Bosh.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But that's important.
At the same time, when you look at the stat that most people will only look at, which is the points per game, they're actually pretty close.
Yes.
But the game is different. But what you're saying is that the way the Knicks play, it's kind of similar.
I'm saying that, and I'm also saying that Chris Bosh attempted, you know, up until he got to Miami, 0.3, less than half of a three-pointer a game.
Yeah.
Julius Randle
is
shooting 42% from behind the arc.
In defense of Chris Bosh, you do have to give him some leeway here because he likely, and whenever he, early 2000s, was not given license to just fire off three-pointers.
Oh,
like every player is these
days. Absolutely. No, and we saw how proficient he became. And listen, he got the biggest offensive rebound in LeBron James's career when he kicked it to Ray Allen to the corner. Boom. They were just getting ready to celebrate. They were lining the baselines, the guards.
Yep.
That series was done.
That's right.
LeBron wasn't going to win. Chris Bosh saved his bacon. Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. And I'm not saying that. See, here's what's hard for people to get. And I understand it. And it's not an intelligence thing. I'm not trying to put people down. But let me form it this way, and it's a big if, but this will, I believe, better connect the dots for those who still resist. My only point, all right, if Julius Randle did, or maybe more specifically does, the next 5 years, okay, what he's doing this year, and because he just turned 26, it's not implausible that actually happens, and he's playing without a point guard, by the way, even though D. Rose is playing now because he's starting and playing well, but he played the first 30 games with Elfrid Payton, who stinks, who can't shoot, all right? So if you had five more years of this Julius Randle, and I put that tweet out there, is it going to be received the same way?
No.
The answer is no.
No, you're right.
But what people failed to do as they tried to ratio me, which they did to a bloody pulp, they did not actually consider what I wrote,
yeah,
which I find hysterical.
Yeah, they just wanted to respond to what they hear. It's like the guy who's getting interviewed. Answer the question you want to answer, not the one that's asked.
Correct, which is why they always say don't ask somebody two questions because they'll always gravitate to the easier of the two questions.
Yep.
So, Coach, number one, why did you bench your star player last night for the final 9 minutes and 32 seconds of the game? And number two, we know you had the stomach virus last week. How you feeling, Coach?
Well, I feel really good right now. Yeah, you know, exactly. That's a good thing. I mean, it's, I drank a lot of water. Just took some aspirin. Yes. I stayed in bed for a couple of days here. My wife took really good care of me. Uh-huh. Had some soup, chicken soup. You know, that's chicken soup is amazing, especially when you're sick and not feeling good. You guys have chicken soup before, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there you go.
Blah 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 blah.
Next question.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, wow. Lloyd Pierce fired by the Hawks. I hate to say that I'm not, well, dude, I called him out the other day.
Yeah.
On this show 3 days ago with that talent and that record,
mm-hmm.
Woof. Yeah. I can't say that it's fully unjustified.
No,
I'm sorry.
Look, we knew when he was hired, he was hired to be like an instructor for a young and developing team, and they started to bring in some talent. And look, they've had some injuries this year as well, but yeah, after a while, you can teach the fundamentals of the game, which I think he's really good at. That's what he was hired to do. But at some point, you got to also be the coach that can take the team to the next level, and it just wasn't happening. It feels like they're the same team that they were a year and a half ago.
For sure.
And that's going to get you fired.
Yeah, and hopefully he lands on his feet. I'm sure he will. You know, but listen, the thing about – on a serious note, and again, it's a tweet. It's all in good fun, although, you know, some people, of course, take it beyond fun, and that's fine. It is what it is when you have the kind of jobs we have. You know, it's fine. And you interact with people. Thick skin, it's all good. Julius Randle is becoming – like, he's literally an all-star, so he's a star. Teague – you get some other players around this guy.
Yeah. What is the Knicks plan with him? Do you have any idea?
Well, I'll tell you, he's got
interesting.
He's got a year to go because they signed him to a 3-year deal. That last year is an option for $20 million. He's making $19 million this year. It's a team, not a player, a team option for next season, which they will invariably pick up. Teague, if I am the Knicks, you want to wait the season out? That's fine. You want to see? That's fine. There is no way I'm not bringing him back for a multi-year extension, unless he is part of a trade to bring back another young all-star. Julius Randle, to me, is a centerpiece of the Knicks moving forward. He should be. And I believe that that's what they're thinking.
We'll see.
To all those ratio artists out there, why don't you ratio these? All in good fun. Third hour coming up, Tiki and Tierney.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.